Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Let's talk some NFL with Mike Florio as we do every Wednesday. He's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He's on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Mike.
What's going on? How are you today?
We're good, and I have a follow-up question because the last time that we talked, Dan was off, Layla was off, Grody and I were here, and we were talking about Justin Fields, and we were discussing all of the misinformation that was coming out. Did you talk to your source after Justin Fields came out and said his shoulder was separated?
I didn't.
You said that you were going to give him the business over there, Mike.
Dislocated and separated are two different things, right?
Correct.
It is.
Yeah.
But you were saying that you were going to get on your source because, you know, maybe they weren't giving you the truth.
My point was, they were saying it's not dislocated now. And maybe it was dislocated and popped back in. I think that's what we were saying.
Yep.
And frankly, there's 31 other teams, and I tend to focus on the relevant ones this time of year.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
So how relevant is the Packers quarterbacking situation? No, seriously, in that regard, what is the relative relevance of what's going on with the Packers?
Well, the Packers are relevant because it's fascinating. There's no doubt that Justin Fields will be the starter next year in Chicago. In Green Bay, you know, the Packers spent 2 years worrying that Aaron Rodgers was going to want out, either via trade or retirement. Now there may be some folks in that organization who worry that he wants to stay at a time when they would just as soon move on from him. And he's got $60 million, nearly, in fully guaranteed pay for next year. And he could say, I want to play. I want to be here. You're not turning the page to Jordan Love. You're not going to push me out the door the way you pushed Brett Favre out the door. I'm staying. I'm taking every penny. Oh, you want to trade me? Well, I'll make it clear I don't want to be traded to anybody. I want to stay with the Green Bay Packers. I want to finish my career here, period. So he has a hell of a lot of power right now. And this all started when the Packers stunned him by trading up in round one of the 2020 draft to get Jordan Love. They invested their first round pick and a fourth round pick to get in position to take Jordan Love. And it sparked Rodgers to have a couple of MVP seasons. But then he got this contract that I don't think anybody thought it would come down to him not being as good as he used to be and wanting to still play and the Packers wishing he would leave so they could move on to Jordan Love. But that may be where we are after this season, if not sooner. And the Packers are stuck if he decides he's going to play hardball.
Well, that just makes the contract all that more strategic because there's a part of me that thinks when we're whiteboarding this that not only, yes, do I think that the drafting of Jordan Love was all about Aaron Rodgers' ego at that point because that's what that personality type does, but also if this was all a ruse to just extend his actual career and get a contract and get massive amounts of money, I think he did a good job because he secured the bag, to say the very least, and his play is, it's almost irrelevant to that point right now.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And look, they got two MVP seasons out of him, and to a certain extent, the contract that he got early this year made up for the fact that he was woefully underpaid. He's got a habit of doing these ultra-long-term deals that leave him incredibly underpaid by the time we get to the end of the road. And remember, the Packers don't have an owner who is squirreling away profits to go buy a super yacht. So all the money gets reinvested into the corporation so they can do things like this. But it just represents a shift that I don't think anyone expected. We didn't expect Rodgers to fall off and look so ordinary so quickly. And I know he's got the broken thumb, because he's made sure we all know he's got the broken thumb in the aftermath of his performance against the Titans, which wasn't good. But, you know, 4 days before that, he looked pretty good against the Cowboys. So I don't know if he's got a little bit of Big Ben in him right now, excuse-making, embellishing, whatever the case may be, to soften the blow. But it's just awkward. And when he says that he wants to play until they're mathematically eliminated, well, what are the other guys who are grinding away thinking about that? I mean, you're either all in or you're not. I'm just going to play until we're out of it. Well, they're kind of practically out of it now. At some point, is he going to say, Christmas Day, I'm taking the day off. I'm not going to play that day. I'm not going to play week 17, week 18. I'm not going to play outdoors against Minnesota on New Year's Day. It's going to be too cold, and it's over for us. It's just a weird time for the Packers, and it's never a clean, graceful separation. Rarely, very rarely, is it easy and seamless between franchise quarterback and franchise. But, you know, this has been kind of gurgling for a while, and I feel like ugliness is coming sooner rather than later.
What do you believe about what the Jets are saying about Zach Wilson?
Well, I believe that they very much would like him to reset his career. They very much would like him to get back to square one and focus on the fundamentals and mastering the easier aspects of playing quarterback. One of the things that we reported last week in the aftermath of the benching was quite simply he's trying to be Patrick Mahomes too often. He wants to make the no-look pass and the sidearm throw like so many kids do today. That's one of the things about the greatness of Mahomes. It causes kids to fast forward past checking the boxes on the things you need to do before you even earn the privilege of throwing the sidearm and no-look passes. But I also think it would be naive to not consider the possibility that they're just done with him, but they don't want to completely destroy their offseason trade leverage. I mean, if they come out and say, we're just done with this guy, what do you do? How do you get somebody to take the final 2 years of his rookie contract? You have to act like you still want him, and then you have to come up with a pretty good plan B to step away from Zach Wilson after the season. And in the interim, it's really awkward. I talked to Mike White after the game on Sunday. You know, you've got a teammate, and he told me he considers Zach Wilson friend before teammate. And there's a balance between being teammate and competitor. And Zach Wilson is trying to earn his way back onto the field, while Mike White is showing that he deserves to be the guy on the field. And it just has an inherent quality of dysfunction to it that you can't repair, because the young guy who was the second overall pick is supposed to be the starter. Mike White is supposed to be the backup. It's all turned upside down. And I think the Jets are just trying to keep it from exploding, because they got a team that's good enough to get to the playoffs, because it's about defense and the offense doing just enough to supplement a damn good defense.
Where's the Odell Beckham Jr. saga at the moment? It's all gotten very, very strange.
Well, yeah, and the reports have been all over the place as to his itinerary. Right now, based upon what Von Miller added to the mix yesterday, it's going to go Giants Thursday, Bills Friday, Cowboys Monday. And there have been multiple reports indicating that Beckham wants, number one, a lot of money, not just a Band-Aid through the end of the year deal, but something that extends into 2023 and beyond. And number two, you've got guys like Jerry Jones saying, I want and need an impact right now. Well, last year it took him a while before he made an impact on the Rams, and he had been playing with the Browns before he joined L.A. and made his debut week 10. He hasn't played since the Super Bowl when he tore his ACL, the same one that he had torn some 16 months earlier. So he hasn't played. He's going to join a team he's never played for, an offense he's never played in, a coach he's never played for, players he's never played with, quarterback he's never caught passes from. I don't know how you get him to the point where he's making a real contribution other than decoy by the postseason. So I don't know why, if you're one of these teams that's interested in him, you're going to make a major financial investment if you don't think you're going to get anything from him this year. So it is just kind of a weird situation. But, you know, tomorrow's December 1. We've been, oh, he's going to be ready to go November 15. He's going to be ready to go here. We're still waiting for him to even pick a team. We don't know when he's going to get on the field. It's just really weird how this has lingered and lingered and lingered. And you feel like at some point it's going to end, but who knows? Maybe he decides at some point, I don't like any of these offers. I'm just going to become a free agent in March, and I'll pick my next team then.
Mike, I want to ask you about the Washington Commanders Memorial to Sean Taylor. And when it was revealed, it upset a lot of people for, I think, various reasons.
Good
reasons.
But
the one to me that mattered the most was the fact that this is a man who was known for his overwhelming presence. And the Commanders didn't even memorialize the man. They didn't even show his body. This was on a mannequin, a number that belonged to the franchise. His helmet, the pants, and the cleats, which we've talked about, don't match either. But that they didn't even show the man himself. I think a painting would have been a lot more respectful because you would have seen his face. To dehumanize him in that way, I thought was quite appalling.
And I also feel like Dan Snyder and his wife Tanya never pass on an opportunity to quasi-legitimately trot out the logo and the name that they were forced to abandon a couple of years ago after Dan Snyder said, I'll never do it, and you can put it in all caps. And I think that was part of this, too. There was a way to memorialize Sean Taylor without having the logo, without having the name. There's an iconic image of him on one knee. That could have been made into a statue of Sean Taylor and put in that spot. And I hope whoever buys that team, Jeff Bezos or whoever it may be, first order of business, properly memorialize Sean Taylor. It's one of the boxes that you need to check in order to undo the damage that Dan Snyder did. But it really was embarrassing. It's almost like if it was an SNL skit, it would have been kind of funny, but it would have been like, oh, not even Dan Snyder would do something that over-the-top stupid, and there it is, that over-the-top stupid.
He's a man who died protecting his family. And I just don't know how they could lose that aspect of this.
They've gotten
such
this wrong
twice. Way.
Like they've done. They've
the initial
done,
story was yes. wrong. Just like the Mike Wilbon stuff immediately in the wake of it was all wrong. Sort of blaming him.
Yeah.
For saying his being involved with sort of unsavory business.
No, but I mean, the Washington franchise has gotten the Sean Taylor memorial thing wrong twice. They had that incident where they had it set up in front of a bunch of urinals, and like I don't understand how one of your franchise greats could be treated like this and there not be like real ramifications from it.
It really is amazing, but I think we're so exhausted by the fact that it's one thing after another with this team that we just kind of shrug. We shrug and we move on and we wait for the next thing that they do horribly, poorly, whether it relates to Sean Taylor or something else. And we wait and count the days. Hopefully March of 2023 will be when it happens. We haven't heard much lately, but if Bezos is going to write a check for $7 billion or whatever it's going to take to buy that team, the sooner it happens, the better off everyone's going to be.
Mike, we see our first flex, and we get an opportunity to see that Tua and Mike McDaniel offense go up and to take Patrick Mahomes off of Sunday Night Football because Russell Wilson is so bad. How are the Broncos going to get up out of this whole thing they got going on?
Well, this is a huge mess. And one of the things I was poking around about on Sunday afternoon was whether and to what extent Nathaniel Hackett is in danger of being fired during the season. And the best I could come up with is they're not going to do it. It rarely has ever happened. Only 4 times since the merger has a coach not finished the first year of his time on the job. Now, it happened last year with Urban Meyer, but that was a confluence of all sorts of on-field and off-field craziness that caused him to get fired by the Jaguars. So I think they ride it out. Look, they haven't been embarrassed by the final score. They've been embarrassed by the process plenty of times. The players are still playing hard for now. They had only lost they had never lost by more than one score until this past Sunday against the Panthers. And so I think they've got 6 more games, more than 2/3 of the season left, get through to the end and then figure out what to do. I think that's what they're going to do. But I can't imagine anything other than a coaching change, barring a dramatic turnaround, starting with getting more out of Russell Wilson, figuring out where he is and how to get more out of him. And maybe you just can't. You know, he's only 34. He turned 34 yesterday. he has lost his mobility. And we need to remember how quickly that's happened to him. As we assume Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and others will be able to run like they do now well into their 30s. And with Mahomes, we saw it in Super Bowl 55. You give him that chronic toe injury, you take away just a little bit of his elusiveness and his agility and his speed, and he's a completely different quarterback. And I really think that's the core of what's gone wrong with Russell Wilson. He's lost that ability to separate laterally and vertically, and it's caused him to be sufficiently hesitant and tentative that it's completely destroyed his game. And I don't know that the Broncos can do anything to fix it, but they're tied to him for the next few years. Job number one is find a coach next year that can get the most out of whatever Wilson can currently do.
Mike Florio, thanks. Look forward to talking next week.
All right. Have a great week.
That's Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. We've got Bulls discussion when we come back. We've got Billy Donovan with some very interesting thoughts about the Bulls defense. And I have some numbers that in a crystal clear fashion explain what the Bulls offense is and is not. We'll do that next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
In the paint to Vanderbilt, left quarter market, an open three, good. He's hit two threes here in the opening 3 minutes of the ball game. 10-4 Jazz, loads a pass in front, marketed top side three, nothing but net. And Lowry marketed with his fourth triple on the night. He's got 14 points in 9 minutes. And it's Olynyk driving right to left in the paint, setting up marketed open, left wing three, good. Lowry marketed is 6 of 8 beyond the arc. He's got 27.
You know, I love this song. I would like to point out that we are all still creeping, crawling, and balling in the mix. But here's the issue. Where did Jose Abreu go? I can't do it yet.
$60 million. Good for him.
Exactly. Jeff Bagwell orchestrating his deal.
What a clown show Jeff Bagwell is. And isn't it enough time to lose the goatee thing?
I don't know. Y2K's back, man. All we need are frosted tips. The girls are wearing Juicy Couture again.
Really?
Ladies, let's not do the whale tail again this time, please.
I thought Juicy...
We have some dignity.
I thought Juicy Couture got sold to one of those brand aggregators.
Probably
that buys,
did,
like,
but it's back.
Wait, so whale tail is like the thong above the lowered sweatpants or whatever?
Oh, don't act so disgusted.
No, it's not.
I am embarrassed for high school, college me. That's another story.
That's how you rolled, or?
More so college. High school, like, I don't know. We were just trying to, like, get from point A to B. That was scandalous when it came out.
It only has one verse. He does the same verse five times.
We aren't even going to talk about Drew Hill on the Soul Food soundtrack. None of this has to do with Bulls basketball.
I mean, Drew Hill is outstanding.
Oh, man.
Do you want to see by Drew Hill? It's a classic R&B track.
Where do you want to start? You want to start offense or defense?
Okay. So I want to start defense because I feel like Billy Donovan summarizes confidently, like a coach who got his contract extended, the problem with the Bulls' three-point shooting defense. He and Joe Calley went back and forth on Monday night. It was a late night. It was after that Jazz game. And I feel like a lot of people didn't hear it. So check it out.
Here's the problem. I think for us, because at times we're not going to be the biggest team and we're not going to have a lot of rim protection, we have got to be in the right position to start possessions. And a lot of times we get caught, what I would say, is in these two-way stunts where we're not in the right position. We try to get into the right position. Now the ball's coming back out and now it's too late. It's too late, and we have to help each other, and we've got to be in better position earlier. And I think that, you know, there was like a couple drives where we're now all of a sudden we're going up some threes, and now we're going the other way. We're hugging our man, and now the lane's wide open, and they're just coming straight downhill. There's a pretty significant drop from NBA three-point shots that are contested versus uncontested. And I think when we've gotten blitzed, like you said, from the three-point line, I think it's been a lot of uncontestedness where we can't get there quite quick enough, and guys are getting off clean. I thought in the second half we did a much better job of being in better position and contesting better. But that's really what our dilemma is, because we're going to give up some threes because we got to protect the paint. Like if we just say, hey, listen, we're going to try to take away the threes, the ball's going to be coming downhill, and then you're going to give up fouls, you're going to give up threes because you do come to help, they kick it back out. But we've got to be better on the perimeter, getting into the correct shift spots as the ball is moving. And I think sometimes, like today, we were a little bit slow in that area.
Oh, it's great.
I knew you'd like
that. That's great. And dilemma. We don't want the gorilla to have a dilemma. But that is...
The gorilla.
And part of that is what I've noticed about when they get caught ball watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's little things that add up to be big... errors.
A step late here,
and then someone's wide open.
And the closeouts, that's it. The next logical conclusion to that is why you're seeing poor closeouts. He whiteboarded the whole thing. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah, that's really good. And that is honest. I mean, he's not hiding anything there.
Can he fix it?
Early in the possession, get set. And there are some people who are just better instinctive. You know what part of that damn problem is? DeMar DeRozan sitting on his ass after shooting. That is a huge problem. Get up. Get up. Get back. And Patrick Williams did it too. Stop bitching about calls. Stop trying to make every jump shot. You fall down every time. Get up. Get back. Get in position.
But you know what, Dan? The more I watch DeMar DeRozan, the more I think that's how he generates offense at this point in his career. The idea of, if I'm not going to make the shot, I will go make the free throws. And it's an epidemic with him and with Zach. Both of those guys do that. They spend a lot of time, DeMar more so on the ground, but you hear it every time Zach LaVine goes to the basket. Hey! You hear it
because he needs it now. Because he's not dunking on anybody.
I'm okay with DeMar doing that because that's why they hired him. They hired him because they had a free throw shooting deficiency. They needed him to help increase the offensive efficiency, which is something I know we're going to discuss momentarily. But the other thing about Zach, though, is we saw him adapt, I would say, a little bit two nights ago against Utah. Because if you're not going to make these plays, if you're going to stay in this below-the-rim lifestyle right now until things get right, which I'm still holding out some hope, then be a willing passer. And we saw that. Then be a willing facilitator. That's what makes the beauty of Goran Dragic so good. Passing is contagious.
It should be.
And you're seeing that a little bit work its way through. We saw him set up Kobe White really nicely in those closing minutes.
Well, that's been the problem with Io starting, too, is that he's just not a natural quarterback.
That's really what our dilemma is.
It is so good. Unlike your beard, Billy Donovan, what is happening there?
They're growing the beards in support of an assistant, one of their assistant coaches.
Thank you.
Right, who's it's?
I did not know that.
It's a charitable effort. I forget which assistant is dealing with a relative with cancer.
Okay, that makes more sense because I'd been wondering that for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the mustache in November or something like that.
Movember.
I think it's a November cancer charity solidarity effort.
Okay,
I agree. It looks terrible on Billy.
It is quite confusing. He's a youthful-looking person.
Yes.
His beard is not.
I appreciate that Billy Donovan can identify problems. What I haven't seen yet is his ability to fix the problems that he has identified. Mm-hmm. Which is, the more I thought about it after we left yesterday, after that news broke about him getting an extension, I don't like how sneaky it was. I don't like that they were kind of hiding this,
instead of celebrating it.
Yeah, like if you feel like he's the guy and he's going to be here through what I imagine now will be a rebuild of the Bulls, because this team is not going anywhere but to basketball purgatory with the way that their team is structured. I'm not sure why you felt the need to give him a contract extension.
Two things, fellow hoops lovers, that I ask you. Number one, didn't we hear about the Boylan extension when it happened?
But we heard it from him, though.
True, true. Number two.
And then he talked about Rudy Tomjanovic.
I got a signature right here. It's just a crayon X.
Number two, did you two see Michael Pena's article from The Ringer?
I did.
Ooh, he went to a dark place, but I appreciate him going
Is
there.
Is he wrong?
That's it, man. I don't know that I'm willing to sit with that information yet and let it be true.
Well,
he solved your basketball purgatory problem.
Well, this isn't going to help you then, because a stat guru, Jeff Farrer, has done some work here breaking down how the Bulls get their points this year. Okay, these Bulls through 20 games. Is that where we are?
Yes, that is exactly
they're
where we are.
They're 9-11.
Right, the quarter point of the season.
20.
Which is not the quarter pole. The quarter pole is with a quarter of the season remaining, because that's a horse racing reference that people get wrong. So, by distance first. Let's just go by distance. Where are the Bulls' shots coming from? 66.8% of their field goals are twos.
Okay. Are they dunks, though?
Wait. I got all that for you.
Okay.
Okay. They're second in the league in percentage of their shots from two-point range. So they're taking a lot. Their field goal percentage on twos ranks 24th. So they're taking a lot of twos, and they're not good at it.
Oh.
Okay. From 0 to 3 feet.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Does that equal usually, Dan, help me out with this. Does that usually equal winning basketball when your team does that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. From 0 to 3 feet. At 24.4%, their league rank is ninth. So that's good. They're above the league average rate in generating shots very close to the basket, layups and dunks.
Oh.
Their field goal percentage on those is last.
Oh, man.
At 63.9% on layups and dunks.
That's not efficient.
They're the worst in the league at converting layups and dunks.
So they take bad shots. And they're also the worst at converting on those
shots. These are the 0 to 3 feet. Those aren't bad shots.
But those are still twos.
I understand your logic, but a layup or a dunk is still a good shot.
Yes, if you convert them.
All right. From, just wait.
Okay.
It gets worse?
It gets worse.
I'm not feeling good about this at all.
It gets worse.
The shot that where this is where they rank first in the league. No team takes more shots from 16 feet to the three-point line. So the very definition of a long two, they rank first in percentage of their field goal attempts that come from 16 feet to the three-point range.
Right.
Now, their field goal percentage there isn't bad.
Okay.
It's sixth. So what that tells you is, take a step back. All of those long two, and we're kind of subtweeting a guy here.
But that's his game.
Okay, but it's a bad game.
You signed him. You know who he is.
I know. So hold on a second here. They're actually not that bad at threes. They're shooting 36.3% from three-point range. They rank 29th in the league. They're next to last in how many threes they take as a percentage of their shots. Only one team in the league takes fewer threes than the Bulls. The Bulls are 12th, however, in percentage. Take more three-point shots. You're okay at making them.
And DeMar is shooting 32% from three,
shoot,
which is fine.
More of them.
Wait, who's the worst?
I don't have the full rankings in front of me. I just have where the Bulls rank. Now, as far as rates go, the Bulls have, on the percentage of their two-pointers that are assisted, it's only 43.8%, which ranks 22nd. So essentially, the Bulls' offense is largely unassisted long twos.
Yeah, yes. Okay? Yes. We can confirm.
Unassisted.
So like I was saying, they take bad shots and they're not great at making them.
And they take a lot of corner threes. They're pretty good at making corner threes. This is just
corner
numbers.
Threes are a good shot.
It's the shot you want.
Yes.
It is the best shot.
Because it's closer to the rim.
It is
it's worth more points.
Yes. This isn't hard.
But the problem is the guy who's the best at that isn't on the court.
Correct. And Io's not making them.
That's one of their problems.
Yeah, No, I mean,
Lonzo's 44% from there.
And to speak to your high percentage shots, which 0 to 3 feet is, that is also truthful to their points in the paint numbers as a team all season. Look at their points in the paint numbers. They scored 64. That's how they won that game against Utah.
So, Dan, remember when I asked DeMar DeRozan to take more three-pointers per
Just
game?
A couple more, yep.
Like, if you went before last season, his last all-star season was the 2017-2018 season. And our guy's been late, man.
I know.
Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, 9 minutes late to wipe down the door?
I knew when he walked by, you two were going to say something.
He's always on time in the last couple of days. Like, he'd be here like 11:29, 30. And lately, I don't know. Maybe. Don't know.
Well, Texter said he was out with Yoan Moncada last night.
Oh, yeah. That'll make you late.
The player, the White Sox management wants the coaches to coach up.
Everybody. Yeah.
But look at this.
Anyway,
this is so clear.
DeMar DeRozan in his last All-Star season before coming to the Bulls, 2017-2018, shot 46% from the floor, shot 31% from three, but shot almost 4 three-pointers a game. That's where I'd like for him to be. Because he can shoot that percentage, and if you're taking some of those shots instead of long twos, it's worth more. You're more valuable. He scored 26, or what did he score that year? He scored 23 a game that season. Last year, he shot 1.9 three-pointers per game, and I want that number to be closer to four. This year, 1.6. He's going in the wrong direction.
Take more threes instead of long twos.
You know that DeMar got hit on that shot, but he also was lying on the ground in pain because he knew he got beat on his own fake, something he's been doing for the last 14 years.
We don't call Mark Quality Control Schanowski for nothing.
If you had to listen real carefully because there's his delivery sometimes. You don't realize that he's got the sword out for you there. But it was really good stuff with Mark the other night. But this really tells the tale. It tells the tale of an incredibly inefficient offensive team.
I mean, that's it. I don't always believe wholeheartedly in offensive efficiency as a way to measure a team, but it really can explain teams that are not, and that's where the Bulls sit right now. It is a huge key, along with the three-point defense, I think, as to why they are where they are, two games below 500.
Does anyone believe that this team can be, let's drop in healthy Lonzo at the end of it?
That's a huge reach. Guy can't even walk upstairs.
I know. Let's drop him in. Are they then a championship contender?
No.
Then what are we doing?
We were doing the same thing that we've been doing. We were concerned about the fact that the stars are not two-way players. We were concerned about the fact that one of your most needy, as far as like the person you need the most playing two ways, is not healthy.
And Zach has become a below-the-rim finisher. One of your most athletic players is no longer one of your most athletic players.
Okay, so let's ask a bigger question here. What has this front office done that makes you believe that they are capable of building a championship team? And why would they feel the need to give Billy Donovan an extension with 2 years left on his deal?
I don't know. Maybe they're blaming themselves rather than Billy.
I think they are. Because Billy, in that post game, talked about how he knew they didn't get rim protection. He's like, we didn't get rim protection in the offseason.
Nor did they get shooting.
But he knows that. He's talked about it before. This isn't the first time he brought this up. He brought it up in the offseason. So if Billy's talking this confidently, this is a front office that did have a reputation for self-evaluation. We know that.
I mean,
so maybe they're blaming themselves.
That was their reputation coming into town. I don't know if that's their reputation while they're in town. My man Tony Gill says this, and it's one of the most brilliant things that he says. New doesn't mean good. Just because these guys are new and they aren't the old regime doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. And if you look at the way that this team was constructed and you look at the reasons why you wouldn't give Zach a max deal, they ran to it. They ran to it. And then they matched the coach up with the deal that he got. And as much as I like Billy Donovan, and I do, and we've talked about this, in this segment, we learned the game from Billy. Show your work. Show me where he deserved that extension based on what you're projecting his performance to be, not on what he had accomplished last year with 2 years left on his deal.
And I think there are some ways to do that. Oh, we can't. See, I knew this basketball thing was going to be more than one segment. I knew it, and I'd been off, and you guys convinced me to put it one segment, and I'll do it, but we've got a lot to work on for next week. People.
I think we're being chastised for our radio discipline. Or our show plan.
No, it's my fault too. I took us here. I took us to the bad place.
A little note here. The Matt Eberflus has announced that Justin Fields limited in practice today. He's day-to-day. Trevor Siemian out due to his oblique injury. He's day-to-day.
That means that the Peterman got the bulk of the number one reps. Let's go!
I really want Nathan Peterman versus Jordan Love. If it's not Trevor Siemian.
I just want Nathan Peterman on the field. Let's go.
And the Bears have signed quarterback Tim Boyle.
What does that tell you?
From the...
I thought he was in Vegas.
Lions practice squad.
That's Tim Doyle.
Boyle.
Them signing a quarterback, yes. What does that tell you?
Off that street free agent time. Yeah, it's...
It tells you that...
They're out.
Yeah, Justin Fields ain't playing on Sunday. Right.
Fields isn't playing. Simeon might not play. We have High Noon coming up. I don't know how many stories we're going to be able to fit. If you want, I've got an update to a story about the cane toads.
Oh, speaking of picture-based stories, do I have one for you two?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It's high noon. We talk White Sox, we talk Bears, we talk with Mike Florio, and we talk Bulls.
Look, I'm going to change mine, Mike, so don't worry about the audio. We'll save it for tomorrow. I'm going to make mine really short because you guys have better stuff. Jennifer Lopez is saying that she is going to do a tribute to Whitney Houston at the Grammys.
Oh, but I...
Exactly.
The singing.
Yeah.
She can't sing
the
like
octaves.
That.
That's the problem.
There's so many octaves.
Dust off the old auto-tune.
It won't
How
help.
How far will it go?
That's a... I love J-Lo with all my heart. Like, with all of my heart. Please don't do this. That's all I gotta say.
Will she make up for it now?
Uh-oh!
It's never not wrong.
In Australia, they don't like a bird called the white ibis. They really, really don't.
It's racist.
They are called, they refer to them as bin chickens.
Isn't that the Miami mascot?
That's the pink ibis, I think.
So what's up with these birds?
So this, the bin chickens, as they call them down there, scavenge food from garbage cans, and they do it messily. They steal food out of people's hands. They're an absolute annoyance. But it's figured something out that's really cool. We were talking about the cane toads, the poisonous cane toads that people lick to get high, and then they were in the Sonoran Desert, etc. The ibises have learned how to eat cane toads.
That's good.
And they're happy the ibises are doing it because cane toads are a menace in Australia. They were introduced
free drugs?
They were introduced in the 1930s, and the toad's skin contains venom that it releases when threatened.
Venom, 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 venom.
So what's happened is they thought the ibises were playing with their food. They thought that for some reason they were throwing them around, flipping them up in the air just for fun.
Yeah, all these complaints are just like kids messy eating, really.
But they're not. They have realized that if they agitate the toad, they can grab it, smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Oh, no!
And then, once it releases the toxin, they rinse them out. They wipe them on wet grass. They go over to a water source and actually shake them in the water at that point, and then they swallow them whole.
That does sound kind of gruesome.
But that's pretty cool.
But that poor toad's being tortured.
But they agitate the toad. They're like, all right, get your poison. All right, you do the poison thing. All right, get your poison out. All right, now, here, dunk in the water a couple times. Boom, gone. It's ingenious to have a learned behavior like that. How do they communicate it? It's not enough. It's not a Darwinian. It's not an adaptation. It can't be an adaptation because I don't think you've had enough of them to die. It's not like the ones selected out who just did this naturally and all the other ones died off. This is a learned behavior. This isn't a generational genetic adaptation in the true sense of like the finches on the Galapagos Islands who could only get certain seeds. This is something very, very different and absolutely fascinating.
Is it like when the monkeys abducted all the dogs or the puppies? Remember that story?
As revenge?
That we had? Yeah, you remember that story?
They were grieving.
I don't know if it's the same thing. Learned behavior and all that
it
stuff.
It is. Learned behavior.
There are certain shared learned behaviors among birds. I know that the seagulls at Wrigley Field, that where certain times of year where they know when the pizza crusts and hot dog buns are going to be there.
Giant seagulls too. Seventh inning.
A flock
fails.
Of them?
How big? Like hey, giants.
Massive flocks and massive giant seagulls. All of the things. Guys, I know that as a single woman of a certain age, I have a predisposition to see cats on the internet. But look at this poor cat. Hold on.
Totally different Yahoo algorithm than I have.
Wait, what's happening right now? Why is that cat so sad? Is that Dave the cat's cousin?
No, Dave the cat's cat.
Yeah, don't. Dave's just content.
Okay, so that poor cat with the horribly sad face, which you have to see for yourself, because I didn't think cats had eyebrows, but apparently I was wrong, and that's how sad this cat is.
Oh.
His name is Fishtifer.
That's a great name!
And he was on a pet finder bio, which is something that animal rescue shelters use. And this poor Fishtifer clearly got left by somebody because
that's good.
He was sad and depressed, and he wouldn't even raise his head for pictures, and he wouldn't eat unless somebody was around. That's how sad this poor cat was. And so somebody posted, if one of you doesn't go get fish to fur, I swear on everything holy. So that the post worked on Twitter. It went
Someone
viral.
Someone got him?
Multiple families went to adopt fish to fur.
Aw.
And so multiple cats got saved from this animal shelter, I believe in Maryland. New Jersey. Homeward Bound Pet Adoption Center. A family from Maryland got him. A woman and a man who lived together. They're in their early 20s. And turns out Fish to Fur is feeling a little bit better now. So he's happy and takes pictures. But they said they wouldn't come home empty-pawed as they saw a few other cats online that were worth considering. But Fish to Fur was so sad he wouldn't even eat. And now he just curls up on a pillow that he took home from the shelter and everything's okay. But if you get the chance to see the pic of this poor cat... Oh. He doesn't look like that anymore.
Oh, but, he smiles now.
Yeah, he keeps his head up a little bit. He looks for some treats and some pets.
It's all, he's feeling better. Any of us need is someone to take us in, feed us, and bathe us.
But how sad is that? That, like, he wouldn't even eat unless anybody was around.
It's usually the opposite.
I want to know more about how you're getting unsolicited cat photos.
They come up on my news app. Cats are a topic that I follow.
Okay, well...
It's like me with the dog, cute dog videos.
Okay.
I love dogs and cats.
That's now my Instagram feed. My reels are filled with cute Yorkies and Malteses and Marapus and everything else.
But you,
I guess same thing. I get a bunch of birds of prey eating cool stuff and killing things and, you know, sitting in places where they're not expected.
So I have
Texas
this...
and Sam Fishtifer.
That's amazing. We lost you too. So I'm going to, while Dan and I collect themselves, I'll also tell you this story. So NBC5, we shoot promo videos for the holidays, like Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. And they're like, hey, Layla, we want you to do one. So we know that you don't have any kids or like significant other.
They didn't say that to you though.
It was implied because they're like, hey, bring your pet if you have one and your families. And I was like, well, my family doesn't live here. They live in Texas and California. And then I was like, I don't have a pet. Then I started thinking of like random sad things that I could do to, or like things to make me look more approachable in these happy holiday promos. Like, I'm Layla Rahimi. Happy holidays from NBC5. This isn't my cat. Or like, my name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. Happy holidays from NBC5.
I'm allergic to dogs. Happy holidays.
This is
Max Rastafer to the Pro
Bowl. Hi, I'm Layla Rahimi with my plant. Happy holidays from NBC5.
A half drank goblet of
bourbon.
Whiskey or bourbon.
Guzzling out of a bottle of with, Jim Beam.
100% it's Makers.
With listen, ice you bastards.
Say happy holiday.
Oh, hello there. Like I'm in the chair by the fire that I turn around.
Ah, the fridge.
And I'm like, this is just hello. Tuesday. Happy holidays from NBC5.
Crackling fire, right?
Happy holidays.
You turn on your hair's in curlers and stuff.
I'm like, hey. my favorite is, my name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. Happy holidays from NBC5.
You're right, Mike Rankin. It's on us. Our topic of discussion will turn a little bit more serious in the next segment, but we
Max
do think
Rustifer.
He's not going to be a part of Fishtifer. But we will talk about something a little deeper, and we need some time to flesh it out. So we hope that you stick with us. It's next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi on the score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.